Hello, retrospective viewers, and welcome back to the channel. It's George from Ireland. Well, yesterday just flashed up my news, the phone, that Michael Ancram is dead. Michael Ancram, who was a Conservative politician and indeed deputy leader of the party for 3 years during the real locust years for the Conservative Unionist Party, not exactly a household name, despite being fairly prominent, you know, in the early noughties on television almost every day. And I didn't know him, but I bumped into him twice on Norfolk Square in London. He was coming from Paddington Station, and I saw him in the street, and I would say, the Marquis of Lothian. And he would smile embarrassedly, astonished that a member of public would know his real title, because Ancram was not his surname. That was his title. I'll go into his background. So a real Tory toff. And you know, he's died at the age of 79 because his father was the Marquis of Lothian. So Michael Ancram's real name was actually Michael Kerr. But because he had a courtesy title of as the Earl of Ancram, so then when he was an advocate, that's a barrister in Scotland, people say my lord, because of course the Earl of Ancram, you can say Lord Ancram, is confusing. Are we talking to the judge? Are we talking to the advocate here? So he said, well, I'll just drop Earl of, just use as a surname, call me Michael Ancram. Went by that, even though his surname was in fact Kerr. So he's born in London. Just towards the end of the Second World War, Japan hadn't quite surrendered, and the Marquises of Lothian, obviously going back like about 250 years before he was born, they had gone back and forth between Protestantism and Catholicism, but when he was born, they're brought up in Catholicism. So he went to Ampleforth, which was then thought to be the leading Catholic school in the United Kingdom. It had the grave misfortune to employ me. It was horrific. I shouldn't have stayed there. But anyway, he was there. There was a lot of child molestation when he was there. I mean, so far as I'm aware, it never happened to him. Thank goodness. Anyway, and then he went on to Christ Church, Oxford. So Christ Church being the grandest college in Oxford, the largest in area, and tended to have the most aristocratic undergraduates there when he was there in the 60s, where he read history. So he's a member of the Bullingdon Club, and that was his posh boys drinking society. They wear white tie and go around carousing. So this has led to a lot of spite from the left. Now, most boys like to socialize and have a few bevvies. It's just because they're upper class and they dressed well whilst they did it, that was a real no-no, according to the commies. That upper class people know they're not entitled to have a good time. And, you know, wow. So that's the Puritans for you. But he was physically unprepossessing. He wasn't a charismatic person either. And he was only a satisfactory public speaker. Seemed very overpromoted to me. He wasn't terrible. But, you know, I can't think being blown away by anything like that. Obviously, no slouch intellectually, but not a very effective politician. So surprising he got to where he did, really. So he decided he practiced law in Edinburgh for a few years, because after Oxford, he'd gone to the University of Edinburgh and read law. So fascinating he chose to go there, because he was a Scot, of course, but he could have practiced at the bar in England. Anyway, so he stood for West Lothian in 1970 and lost to Labour. But then he was elected in February 1974 for the constituency of Berwick and East Lothian. And I remember going to a meeting with him in the Oakshot Room of Lincoln College, Oxford, named after that 20th century conservative philosopher. Anyway, and Lord Ancram said, well, about sectarianism, I was the first Catholic MP elected in Scotland as a conservative, because some conservatives were sectarian back then. Catholics being perhaps 10% of the Scots population, most Scottish Catholics having some recent Irish ancestry, saying, oh, well, you're not properly British if you're Catholic and whatever. Now, there were no discriminatory laws against us, not since like 1829, but in the 20th century, anti-Catholicism hadn't entirely disappeared. And so conservatives were unionists, wanted to keep Northern Ireland within the United Kingdom. And unionism strongly correlates with Protestantism. There was the Orange Order, which is extant in North Britain as well, is these days moribund. But anyway, in the 70s, still significant in conservative circles. But he lost his seat only a few months later, that October 1974 election. Only twice in the 20th century, the two elections in 1 year, he returned to the law. And he got back into Parliament in 1979 for Edinburgh South. And he defeated Gordon Brown. Hurrah! Gordon Brown, however, he was later elected for, was it Kirkcaldy in 1983. Anyway, so Michael Ancram, he was in the Energy Select Committee in 1979. That's when select committees were established, when they had about 10 MPs, and the composition would be roughly in proportion to the composition of the House of Commons as a whole. There'll be a chairman or chairwoman of the committee, but he or she is not necessarily from the governing party, and there's a less partisan atmosphere, and it prepares a report. There's a committee stage to each bill going through. So he's chairman of the Conservative Party in Scotland, 1982-83, and he served various other offices, parliamentary undersecretary at the Scottish office and things like that. But anyway, he was booted out in 1987. So it was quite a bad year for the Tories north of Hadrian's Wall. But I don't know what he did in the intervening 5 years, probably returned to legal practice. But he's elected for Devizes, this lovely little town in Wiltshire, in 1982. So he's back in there on the Public Accounts Committee. And he was an undersecretary of the Northern Ireland office in the mid-90s, when it was a very delicate stage of negotiations. And Her Majesty's government said, we will not speak to the IRA, it's a terrorist organization, but they did speak to Sinn Féin, a distinction without a difference, perhaps. But anyway, I remember him telling us in the Oakshot Room, he's the one who invented the term decommissioning, because to prove the terrorist campaign is over, okay, give us your weapons, prove you don't need them. But that's like handing them over in token of surrender, which they thought the IRA wouldn't go. All right, so let's have a more neutral term, let's say decommissioning, because you commission whatever, an arsenal, weapons factory, whatever, to build guns, artillery, tanks, whatever it is. And then eventually, when it's reached its service life, no longer need it, then you decommission it. You take it out of service. You break it up, or you dismantle it, or, you know, missiles have got chemicals in them. You're going to take them out because it's just dangerous to leave them, that they can leak. So decommissioning them. And so he's the one who invented that term, which he thought would be not quite so unpalatable to the IRA. And it's over 10 years after he invented the term, it actually came to pass. But in 1997, the Conservatives suffered a heavy defeat, but he hung on to his seat. He was in the shadow cabinet, constitution affairs spokesman. There was a lot to be said because Labour was changing loads of things. Chairman of the party in 1998 to 2001. He stood for the leadership in 2001. I don't know why he thought he could win, but these are the days when there were five candidates, all of them white males. Portillo was the ethnic minority candidate, I suppose being half Spanish, came out as gay. Although Michael Ancram, I think, was a quarter Italian. Anyway, it was Ian Duncan Smith who won at the end. You know, he didn't really have very much going for him. He'd not served in the cabinet, Michael Ancram. As I say, he was not particularly young or good looking. And I know it's ridiculous, but many people are that superficial. And he was no brilliant orator. But, you know, you only live once. You want to have a go for it? Throw your hat into a ring. It's good he gave it a shot. He was married fairly young, had three daughters, one of whom died in infancy. And there is one of his daughters married to Nick Hurd, Conservative MP, son of the former Home Secretary and Foreign Secretary, Lord Hurd. So he was made deputy leader of the Conservative Party under Ian Duncan Smith, under Duncan Smith's ill-fated leadership. And he stayed there when Michael Howard came back in October 2003. And he served in various other shadow cabinet positions. So he was in the Henry Jackson Society, which was really took a hawkish attitude to disseminating freedom around the world. Anyway, he retired from Parliament in 2010. So that's it. And very little was heard from him in the last few years. He wasn't put into the House of Lords as such because he had a hereditary title. So that is Michael Ancram. And he gave his whole life to politics. I mean, it hurts to say it, but he didn't achieve very much. Not a bad person. Remember the 2001 election? He was asked, well, what are your private polls saying? He said, well, I'm not going to tell you because otherwise it wouldn't be private, and so on. I remember a difficult question to put to him about when Lord Archer was jailed and he was kicked out of the party for 5 years. And then a journalist, an undergraduate journalist, saying, are you happy then in 5 years for him to come back and be fundraising for you? So he had to kick that one of the long grass and say, well, I'll do that in 5 years' time. So that is Michael Ancram. What can I say? Won't be particularly missed. Not a bad person. That was the life that was. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecalan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.